See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You've got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Welcome to the CineScare Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
With us, as always, is Catherine Horan.
Hello.
And our newest member, he hasn't been here very long, and that is Mr. Superfan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
What does that mean?
Welcome back, Mark.
I was only gone for two episodes, and you guys did know that I wasn't showing up for the decoration one, so I don't know why you guys were so surprised.
Well, no one was surprised. I'm just calling you our newest member because your timeline started over when you took that 11-month break, and technically Catherine started in the meantime, and so really her seniority is higher than yours now. So
I'm sorry, who's the guest?
That's right.
So I'm behind Catherine.
Didn't read the notes.
I'm good with that. I'm good with that. Put me in the back. Put me in the back seat.
Yeah. So it was a great hiatus this summer. Whew. What a
it
summer.
It was so good. Our listeners probably didn't even know we were gone.
Yeah. They literally did not know we were gone. I'm not sure that's a compliment.
Are you still nursing that hangover, Matt?
Yeah. The Malort episode just about
Matt's
did me.
Matt's still drunk on Malort. Yeah.
I know.
So do the listeners know that we took an 8-week break?
Yes. Well,
now they do.
I mean, now they do. Hopefully they figured it out when we didn't talk about any new movies over the last 2 months, right. Including some big ones that came out.
Came out?
What's that?
I didn't watch any movies. You guys watch any movies?
You
no,
saw,
I was on break.
I'm sure you saw Evil Dead Burn in the meantime.
Yeah, I probably did.
Did you like it, Joe?
Well, we will get
there. We'll get to that.
All right.
Joe Jans, Mark has a lot of questions about what's been going on. Like, this Joe Jans guy, what makes him tick? What makes Joe Jans tick?
Alcohol.
What excites Joe Jans? How do you spell his name?
Alcohol.
Those kinds of questions are on his mind. But tonight, Joe has something very special for everyone.
A special announcement.
That's right. We have a special announcement, something that's going to change CineScare entirely moving forward.
Yes.
So Matt and I did, we did discuss this and we've come to an agreement. Hang on. I know it's
just clap
great.
Before. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I know it's great just hearing my voice again, but I actually have something to say.
Okay.
So over our hiatus, over our break, I watched every single In Search of Darkness. Every minute of the, I don't know, God, there's got to be like 30 some hours of this documentary.
It's phenomenal. And
one thing that I learned, in the 90s, there were plenty of movies that came out that were labeled thrillers that in today's standards would have been labeled horror films. And they did that because in the 90s, they were afraid that the stigma of calling something a horror film would have a negative impact on the box office. So that's why movies like Seven were labeled a thriller instead of a horror film, which I think we could all agree would be horror. So Matt and I decided maybe we should also allow thrillers when we're picking our themes. Now, the way we've decided to do this, so it doesn't get abused, Mark.
And what would be examples of abusing that rule, Joe? Would be some?
Like a sexual you know, like a, I don't know. I wouldn't call, like Mark might call Top Gun to be a thriller because he's thrilled that we're going to watch it. And I wouldn't, that would be a no. So, yeah. So that's an example. So what we've decided is to set some sort of,
like having Catherine announce it when you go on vacation and you're not actually here. That would be, okay. Yeah.
So we're going to have a couple of
erotic thrillers.
So we're going to have some rules that if you do decide, you don't have to pick a thriller in your theme. First and foremost, there can only be one. All the other two movies in the theme have to be labeled horror. So then with that in mind, even the one thriller movie needs to be presented to the other three members of CineScare in advance. And we have to vote on it. So, for example, if I say I want to watch FX as part of my theme, I don't have to tell you guys what the other two movies are, but I do have to tell you in advance before it's announced on the show, hey, guys, I want to have FX in my theme. And then you guys would vote. And as long as two of you say yes, then I can have that in my theme and then I can announce it.
Okay.
Mark, you look really bothered. Like, do you need me to write this down?
No, I got it.
This is supposed to be good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, you don't have to pick a thriller. You don't have to shoehorn it in. No. And I should also emphasize, it just has to have the word thriller in a tag. So yes, if it's erotic thriller, that counts. If it's suspenseful thriller, that, you know, as long as the word thriller is in there somewhere, like a Michael Jackson video, that would count. So, but the other two have to be horror videos. So
that opens up a whole new, like, plethora of films.
Yeah, that opens up the gateway to a whole bunch of 90s horror films that otherwise we wouldn't have been able to talk about.
Or not other even than, 90s. I mean, it could be something, you know, before that that just doesn't have.
Yeah.
I mean, that just opened up Corey Haim and Corey Feldman film for me.
Well, there's still a ban on Corey Feldman.
Yeah, there's still a ban on Corey Haim and Corey Feldman, though. That's,
not Corey Haim, just Corey Feldman.
Corey's.
And again.
Anyone named Corey?
Corey.
Anyone named Corey cannot be in a movie that you pick.
You just made that up just now. You put in that rule.
Mark, you can suggest any thriller with any person in, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. Just keep in mind, two out of the three of us are going to be voted.
It's going to be voted.
That's
kind of not fair to me, but okay. You guys are going to be against me, and then you guys are just going to, like, Captain's going to go, yeah, that's a great idea. And then Man and Joe are just going to be a dick and just say, no, we're not doing that.
I promise you, Joe and I will not be one dick. Sorry. Hold on. Where's the little drum cups. Thing? There we go.
All right. I mean, I'm game. I'm game for this.
Did you get my joke grenade?
I did get it.
Wait, it's like two girls in one cup?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, it's funnier when you explain it.
it's always funnier when you explain the joke.
Wait, how far did you how far did you ever get on that video? Like how many minutes did you go before you turned it off?
I mean, I figured it was ice cream, so I didn't really, you know.
Once I kind of got the gist of what was going on, I didn't really need to watch the rest of it.
Yeah, I think I went 2.5 minutes and I was done. I was like, I can't. Anyways.
So that's all supposed to be good, groundbreaking news.
Well, I'm excited. That sounds cool.
For all of us. Yeah.
That is. It's exciting. So,
that was the big news.
Yeah.
That's the big news? Never mind. Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up, Mark. Yeah. It's
never
you know.
Mind. Shut up. Shut up, Mark.
Yeah. Just so you know, it's someone's birthday
Never
today.
Mind. Shut up. Shut up, Mark.
It's someone's birthday today. It's
mine was
birthday.
Yesterday.
And today is? It's my birthday.
August 7th is your birthday?
Yes.
August 6th is mine.
Yes. Happy belated
birthday, Matt.
Happy
birthday, everybody.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I was hoping for a song.
But, you know, you kind of screwed it up, Mark, because
You thought the whole special announcement was?
Yeah. Was your birthday. I thought it was about my birthday.
Oh, Jesus.
Sweaty, gorgeous, bare-chested men.
But Mark, that's you really screwed it up. You screwed it up, Mark, because you could have waited until the end of the episode to mention your birthday, because then we could have done to Joe what he did to us when we forgot his birthday. We could have shamed him.
Oh, I'm not like Joe. I don't like just to make people feel bad like Joe.
Gorgeous, bare-chested men.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you. That's what you're getting for your birthday is sweaty, shirtless, sweaty, gorgeous.
Are you allowed to take clips from other podcasts?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shut up, Mark.
Sweaty, gorgeous, bare-chested men.
Okay.
You'd be happy that we listened to your show.
Did you enjoy it?
I haven't listened to it yet, actually.
Yeah.
More than Matt
Joe
did.
Joe listened to it. No, Matt hasn't. He said he didn't.
I haven't watched
it
yet.
I fucking love this film.
Pretty sure it's a lot of this.
I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it.
It was just
you're not wrong.
For an that hour. On repeat.
What do you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Catherine, that, forgetting that was a great that Catherine episode was on
it. It was a great episode.
It was a great episode.
And maybe at one of these.
Hey, I believe Benjamin's going to ask me back on the show. So
this takes us to our next segment.
Yeah.
New movies.
So good on the car.
So our new movies, Joe, what did you watch recently?
Fucking banger.
It is a banger, man.
It's a banger in the car, man.
Yep.
You have like cars like right next to you with the windows rolled down. And you're throwing, like, they don't even know what you're listening to. And you're just bopping to it. It's the greatest.
It is.
I feel special when I'm listening to it in the car.
I think you feel special more than just in the car.
All right, Joe, what did you watch recently, by the way?
Other than watching every single minute of In Search of Darkness, which if anybody has not done that and they like horror films, I can't recommend it enough. Stick around for the credits. You can see Catherine's name like 800 times. The 1970s edition has a release date of July 2026. So my guess is they're a little behind because it's not out. But any day now, I'm sure. I'm going to start off with, I think, the thing that I watched most recently and the thing that I hated the most, Exit 8. Did anybody else watch this?
Yes.
No, you scared me. You scared me off that.
I haven't yet.
I'm going to watch it.
I would recommend neither one of you to do that. Don't waste an hour and a half. This is a concept. This is a based off of a video game that literally takes less than 20 minutes to complete. So this video game concept that really is just, you can learn all the rules in it in about 30 seconds. They stretch this thing out to an hour and a half and I'm yelling at the screen and it's just so aggravating and slow paced and monotonous and boring. I'm so thrilled that I did not waste money to go see this in the theaters, but it's the concept is this guy who's stuck in a loop in a subway system. And whenever he encounters an anomaly, he's got to turn around and go back. And if he doesn't encounter an anomaly, he goes forward. That's it. So if he's walking down the same hallway and one of the posters is turned upside down on the wall, he knows he's got to turn around and go backwards. But if everything looks the way it should or it does on the first exit, he moves on to exit 2 and then 3 and 4. So this is, yeah, this is, was an absolute waste of time. So, Catherine, since you were the only other one that watched it, what do you think?
I'm mostly with you. I mean, it's an interesting idea for a game. And when I was watching this movie, I was like, oh, I kind of want to play the game because I think I'd be really good at it. But yeah, much like you did, I was yelling at the guy the whole time because something would be different. And instead of just turning around, he would like just stand there or investigate. And I'm like, what are you doing? Just turn. And this movie would be done in 45 minutes. You know, it's an interesting idea. I like the idea behind it. But yeah, how they stretched it out for an hour and a half was a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On to something that I did like actually quite a bit is I finally got around to renting Hokum, and that one was worth the time, the money, everything. Adam Scott, Peter Coonan. It's a horror writer that visits this Irish inn because his parents have died and he needs to bury their ashes. While he's in the hotel, some strange things start happening. This is made by the same guy that did Caveat. Is that correct?
An Oddity,
yes. I like his... I wasn't a huge fan of Caveat. I liked it, but it wasn't anything fantastic. Oddity, I really loved. This was by far my favorite of the three. And Adam Scott was great in it. The mood, the scenes, the acting was just tremendous. It hit on everything. It was very suspenseful and just enough jump scares to keep me interested. It was very well paced. So I also watched Ready or Not 2 with Samara Weaving and Elijah Wood. And God, there's a bunch of other people. Catherine Newton, that was the other person I was thinking of. It's a fun film, nothing groundbreaking. Of course not, it's a sequel. It's pretty much, if you saw the first one, it's the same thing, a little bit, you know, turned up. But it was well-paced and it was entertaining and I liked it. It was fine. And then, did everybody see The Odyssey?
Yes.
Yeah.
Little independent film.
Yeah. I saw it twice, actually, now.
Wow.
Oh, let me guess. Now you liked it?
No.
Okay.
I liked it a little bit more.
I really liked it. I was surprised how much I liked it because going into seeing a 3-hour long movie scared the daylights out of me because I just figured at some point in time I'm going to have to get up and break the seal and go to the bathroom and then I'm going to miss a whole bunch of stuff. And I didn't want to have to read that book again. But made it through the whole thing. It was very well paced. I enjoyed every bit of it. And I don't understand what everybody was bitching about with Elliot Page.
Yeah, I don't either.
You're stupid. Just stupid people.
Online bros. That's
just
all.
Stupid people.
I thought Elliot Page was just like every other actor on screen. They did their job and they did it well.
And the scene in Hades, he was so good in it. Like,
amazing.
Probably the best part of the movie, I thought.
It was the best part of the movie. That's really, I mean, I liked some parts of the movie, but that was my favorite scene in the movie.
Yeah.
By far.
I like the archery and the axes, but it's just me.
Did you really, though, Joe? I was wondering about your bowmanship and how they do.
That's a completely different style of archery when they're doing those. I mean, I use a compound bow. They're stringing their own longbows and stuff. It's more difficult. They don't get the tools, like the locking abilities that we would have with ours. Plus we use a sight. They don't even bring the bow or the arrow up to their eyes. They're just sort of shooting from the hip. Which in a competition, you would never do that. But for all I know, that's how they shot in ancient Greece. I don't know. But it's still, I don't care who's doing it. It's an impressive shot. You got to keep the space between the arrows the space between the axes is relatively small. And when you shoot any arrow, the arrow bends in space as it wobbles. and to be able to not hit any of the axes anywhere, throwing it off its path, is it's an impressive shot. So, and then last thing I watched is best movie of the year, Evil Dead Burn. Loved it. Can't say enough nice things about it. I can't get over that the day, well, in 2 days, or August 4th is from recording, that's coming out on digital.
Yeah. That's crazy, you can right?
Buy this and watch it in your home. It's hardly
available anymore in the theaters. I 2 weeks in, there was only one theater I could find, and then I still haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Mm-mm.
Well, you can rent it. Well,
we've been super busy. I haven't had a chance to. So
sometimes
wanted to see it with me, and so it was. And we had no opportunity on the weekends to do it because Reznor moving out and everything else. So
sometimes I really question your commitment to Sparkle Motion.
Joe, did you like it better than Evil Dead Rise?
Oh, that's a tough question.
Yeah,
I knew you were going to ask that.
I know you. I know.
Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But I still really like, if I had to rank them, it'd be a close second.
Yeah, I'm
actually
in the same boat.
I don't know. I mean, because Parker and I watched Evil Dead, the 2013, and then Evil Dead Rise right before going to see this.
Nice.
And it's such a toss up because even the 2013 Evil Dead, it's such a wonderful film. So, you know, if I had to pick one of them out of a hat and throw one on, I wouldn't be disappointed on any of them. What sucks is I don't want to buy this on digital. I want to get this on 4K, but now I got to wait till like September 22nd.
Yeah, it's not.
I found out that it's gonna physical is coming out.
Who are you joking?
If I drag my feet and I wait until September 22nd, the 4K is going to come with a digital download.
Yeah, that you're going to share.
That's going to be on HBO Max too. Pretty soon.
I probably will be. Yeah. No, I think it's
too quick. It's too quick.
Right?
Yeah. I thought like once it left the theaters, I thought it goes like to hotels or.
Yeah. I mean, that's airplanes. What happened.
It's like you could watch it on flights or something, you know, long it's before all it goes. Now.
It needs to Why have can't like a be six the same? Months, at least six just, months and just disappear.
Like something's come on streaming right away. Anymore. He-Man came on streaming right away.
That's crazy.
And then there's other things like Hokum that isn't like free on streaming yet. And that came out months ago.
Yeah, the horror films seem to take its time. And the
Obsession is on Hulu.
Yeah, that's on Peacock.
Or Peacock, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I still have to pay to see Backrooms.
Right?
Which makes no sense.
And it came out around the same time.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen Backrooms yet.
How much is it to rent now? Is it still like
$19.99? It's still $19.99. And it's $24.99 to buy it. So forget it.
Yeah. It's not worth it.
Wait for the book to come out.
Yeah. I mean, do you remember back like in the early 80s when a film was released and then it was gone for a year? You weren't able to see it for a year.
Yeah.
At least. And it was like big hype, you know, it's like, oh my god, I get to finally like watch this.
But it hasn't been that way for a long time.
It seems to get like, worse now.
Batman, I think, was the first one that came out on video just a few months after it was in the theaters. Or
the Batman?
Batman.
1989.
They released that like maybe 5 or 6 months after it was in the theaters. And that was, everyone was shocked. Like, oh my gosh, it's never, you know, normally they wait a whole year.
Yeah.
But
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. It's just, there's no consistency.
Yes.
I mean, all I would be doing if I were complaining, which I'm not, is now I get to see it in the comfort of my home sooner. You know?
And that's kind of hurting the purpose, though, of like going to the movie theater. Not to mention, in fact, it's super expensive to go to the movie theater. It's like, how much does it really cost if you think about it with the popcorn and all that? It's crazy. You're spending $50 for a movie that might be good.
Yeah.
For, you know, it's something's got to be fixed.
Yeah. I mean, this movie was released in theaters on July 10th.
That's insane.
So, yeah, that's crazy.
So 4 weeks later.
Right. So you can watch it in your home. Why go see it in the movie theater and when you can save yourself $50? You know?
That's what we're doing. I mean, we saw that it was coming out, so we were like, yeah, we'll just go then. But we haven't had a weekend that we've been able to do to see it. So
I don't know that I really, I mean, it's hypocritical because I've seen it already, but I don't know that anybody, given the choice now, because it's on, you know, streaming so quickly, given the choice, watch it in your home. There's nothing, it's not like The Odyssey. The Odyssey, you should see it in at least XD or IMAX or something, 35 millimeter or 70 if you can. But that's a giant epic film shot on IMAX. This is not. This is just a really gross story that's, you know, shot on digital. So
yeah,
watch it wherever. Watch it on your phone. I don't care. But I think you should watch it. But you're not missing anything if you watch it in your home. So
is that it, Joe?
Yeah, I did not watch any of the soccer thing. So
what?
The World Cup?
The World Cup. Oh God, it was good. It was a good World Cup.
That was exhilarating. I never watched soccer ever in my whole entire life.
I tried watching like the last game, like the final game, that somehow went like 120 minutes instead of 100 or something. I don't know. I didn't get it. My whole family was watching. Or like, we don't understand any of it.
I'm starting to understand it, and it's exhilarating. It's fun to watch.
Unlike football, they don't stop the clock. So what they do is they just extend the time at the end, and they tell you you've got how much time
For all the flopping you do. Somebody was already in the lead.
It was 1-0, and they kept the clock going.
Well, they had to use that extra time when the players were flopping and, oh, my ankle and all that, just to stop the play. That's the only thing that I have a problem with is the flopping.
It's worse than LeBron James. In all honesty, I turned it off. I put Jaws on.
Now, this is a great World Cup. Catherine, what do you want to watch? Or what did you watch recently? What do you want to watch?
What do I want to watch? Well, just trying to keep up with the new movies coming out. So I also watched Evil Dead Burn, which was fantastic. Exit 8. I watched Faces of Death, which is on Shudder right now, I think.
Yes.
What'd
you think of it?
I enjoyed it. You know, it's not anything groundbreaking, but I like the idea of what it was. It was entertaining. I watched Iron Lung, which that movie is not for me.
What is that on?
I
really want to see that.
I mean, I think if I had played the game or was familiar with this influencer, I may have enjoyed it more. It was just a long slog, but I appreciate what he did in terms of, you know, making this movie on his own, and it did a great job in the box office, so kudos to him, but not for me. And then other things I just watched, I have a podcast that I listened to that did a Sam Neill retrospective after he passed away. And so I watched Dead Calm because they were talking about that. I had never seen Dead Calm.
Speaking of
thrillers.
That's a great film.
And then I watched The Others because I hadn't seen that since it came out. And I noticed that was on, I don't remember if it was Prime or Shudder, but I watched that again.
That one. I haven't watched that in a long time.
Is that with Nicole Kidman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's good.
So good.
It's good.
And then when I was on Tubi looking for The Hand and The Crawling Hand, I noticed The Bay was on Tubi. So I watched The Bay because that's another one. I enjoy that. That's an eco found footage film.
Which one? What's it? Oh, yeah, The Bay.
The Bay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's about it.
All right. Mark, what did you watch?
Well, I watched Evil Dead Burn as well. I'm same boat as Joe. I like it just a little less than Evil Dead Rise. I need to watch it again, and I'm probably gonna like it even more my second viewing. I think they're just killing it with these Evil Dead movies.
Is it number one of the year so far?
Yes. Yes, it's my number one. Then it's Obsession. It eked out Obsession. It's just because Evil Dead Burn is just so much of a fun, bloody, good time. And I was just smiling ear to ear, like watching throughout the whole one. Obsession's great too. It's just, it was a different kind of scare. It was more cringe and more, you know, spooky. And, you know, that actor, that character was deplorable, what he did to that woman. So, but Evil Dead Burn was, only ekes it out, I think, just because how much fun I had watching that.
Catherine, you didn't talk about it. You saw that too, right?
Yeah. No, I said it was fantastic.
Oh, okay.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. I don't know if it's number one for me or not. I have to marinate on that a little longer, but it's definitely up there. Top three for sure.
I also saw Pinocchio Unstrung.
Yeah, how was that?
It's not a bad film. Huh? It's about this boy, James, that visits his grandfather, Geppetto, this is like all in real time, you know, modern times, where he's introduced to a live doll called Pinocchio, who wants to be a real life boy. Basically, he wants to be James. And Pinocchio just goes on a rampage, killing people for organ parts, and he places it on himself. And because he was a real boy. And there's some stop motion in here. You know, they got a somewhat of a little Jiminy Cricket with wings, you know, kind of looks like this wooden kind of like fairy. And he's great. He's got some great one-liners. And the kills, there were some really fun kills in it. Kind of like some Final Destination kills, like where, you know, Pinocchio just sets something off and things happen, and then I liked it. The acting wasn't too bad. It's the best out of the Winnie the Pooh like verse that they're, you know, that this this production company's, you know, doing. You know, I mean, I haven't seen the Mickey Mouse one, but I mean, the Winnie the Pooh one, the second one, was a lot better. These films are getting better because they're getting more of a budget, and I'm really enjoying it. It's kind of like it's kind of like the Marvel Universe, Joe. It's kind of fun. You kind of, man, if they do this like Doomsday, like all these characters get together, it's gonna be a blast. It's gonna be a blast.
I'm
really
enjoying
it. I don't
think it's gonna be anything like the Marvel Universe at all.
They're kind of making it that way, though, Joe. That's the thing. It's getting
it's
on
Joe's
the level.
Hot take for the day.
This Pooh-verse thing is getting on the level of like the Marvel verse. You know, it's like getting on the same kind of like.
We're just.
I mean, how
have
many
to
more of these?
Strongly disagree.
They how many? Bambi? How many more of these are going to be hitting the public domain? Though?
Open market.
Well, It's after, well, I mean, Mickey Mouse just came up for grabs. You could do anything
Steamboat
with Mickey
Willie.
Mouse. You
Steamboat
could do.
Willie.
Yeah, just that Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
Yeah. You got Bambi. They just did a Bambi one. And yeah, they got Winnie the Pooh and all these, you know, folklore, you know, characters, whatever. They're coming up to grabs. Popeye, you know, came up to grabs. They made a Popeye, you know, scary movie. A couple of them, like different versions.
Aren't like the Grimm fairy tales public domain?
Yeah,
probably.
They have to be.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. That's, yeah, because Hansel and Gretel or whatever, Gretel and Hansel.
Yeah.
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
gorgeous bare-chested men.
Those are up for grabs too, Joe.
Yeah. I think Mark's grabbing most of them.
What else did I see? I saw The Odyssey. Yeah, I saw it twice. I don't know if it was bugging me that everybody's going, oh my God, it's so good. When I saw it the first time, I thought it was a fine film. I didn't think it was his best film ever made. I thought all these famous actors didn't really need to be casted. You just cast anyone because they're only in there. Some of them are only in there for like 5 minutes. I didn't like the accents that they had. They're all like New York accents. That kind of took me out of the film. It's a fine film. It's a beautiful film to look at. I just don't think it's this incredible masterpiece that everyone's saying it is. I just don't think it's that. I think The Green Knight is a better film than The Odyssey. like hands down by far. It's more beautiful to look at. I think it's superbly acted, well above any of the actors in there. John Leguizamo in The Odyssey was driving me crazy with him.
It was so bad.
Huh? I loved him. I thought he was great.
I loved him in this.
Yeah. Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really? Like, he just knocked your socks off, huh?
It took me a minute to even realize that was who it was. I didn't recognize him at first.
What?
Are you comparing this to The Green Knight or to The Dark Knight?
The Green Knight. He's talking about The Green Knight. Because he's comparing two movies that are epics, I guess.
I know, but they're not I could see The Dark Knight. Because at least
you love The Green Knight.
I know, but I don't compare the two of them. They're not, it's you know, just because
I'm just saying The Green Knight's better than
you might as well compare it to.
Well, I mean, a lot of movies are better than The Odyssey, but like Amadeus is better than The Odyssey, but that doesn't mean anything.
That's why I was questioning that you weren't comparing it to The Dark Knight, because at least those are films made by the same director.
Christopher Nolan, right. Well, yeah. I don't think it's Christopher Nolan's. I think it's his weakest film I think he's made besides maybe The Dark Knight Rises.
Well, and in all fairness, I have a question for everyone since we've all seen it. Is anybody in a hurry to watch it again?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to see it again.
Really? Yeah, I
watch it again, but not immediately.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if it comes on, I probably won't buy it. It's not something I intend on watching over and over again. If it did come out on like HBO Max, I'd probably put it on some night.
I mean, I don't judge. There are movies that I absolutely love and would put maybe in my top 10 movies of all time that I don't necessarily care to watch that often. You know, so
yeah, I'm very different from
you.
Schindler's,
like, you throw on stuff, yeah. and you judge, like, you rank your movies based on how many times you watch them, basically. But I'm not really that much of a rewatcher.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I still think Schindler's List is a great movie, but I'm not in a hurry to watch it again.
I mean, I've seen it several times, but.
I've seen Schindler's List twice.
I think I've seen it like five times.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Something like that. Sometimes you just got to watch Schindler's List just to watch just how amazing that movie was, just how it was made and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
And the performances,
it's just,
yeah.
God, it's just, yeah.
But yeah, I've seen PCU more than I've seen Schindler's List.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I just don't judge that, because you can watch some really shitty movies.
I mean, Schindler's List is a Christmas movie. It's a Thanksgiving movie. Schindler's List.
Right, yeah.
It's a Thanksgiving movie.
The World of Joe. Yeah. Anything? What
Star
else?
Wars
did you,
is oh, the
you
best
Joe,
movie ever.
Mark, you yes. did watch Widow's Bay and never got a chance to talk about it because you
yeah.
weren't.
Right. Yeah, I'm saving
you
that.
You haven't finished it.
Huh?
You haven't finished it?
No. I got one episode left. So
can you turn his mic off?
What do you mean?
I know I heard you talking about watching something else again that didn't need to be watched again.
Secession. I'm watching Secession again.
Why don't you just watch the last episode of Widow's Bay?
We only got
God's
one
sake.
More to go.
And they're really? Like there's 40-minute episodes.
My daughter was watching Game of Thrones, and she still hasn't watched the last three episodes because she doesn't want it at the end. And now it's like a year ago. It's crazy.
Well, they've already announced they're coming out with Widow's Bay 2, so it's okay. They're going to make more. We're going to have to make this a whole nother segment. Every episode from now on, we're going to check in with Mark, see if he's watched the final episode of Widow's Bay yet.
I'll watch it before then. I saw Spider-Man
Widow's Watch.
Brand New Day 2, and it was good. I liked it. It's better than most of them, so still not as good as my favorite Spider-Man, which is Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, Reznor went to see it last night and loved it, or a couple nights ago and loved
it. I'm going to see it Tuesday.
It's very well thought out, and it will hit some heartstrings. It's an adult Marvel movie, you know? The kid's grown up. It's fun.
Oh, I'm currently reading The Stand.
Nice.
You're finally doing it, huh?
Yeah.
Are you liking happy about it, or what's going on?
I'm liking it. I have difficult, like, I need to take notes when I read because I forget people's names, who they are.
There's a lot of people in that book.
Oh yeah, no, I could never get through that book. I tried and I was like, oh no, this is not something I can do.
I'm about 3/4 of the way through it.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, that one I like a lot.
Yeah, from what I've read so far, I'm really enjoying it. But I do, there's, like I said, there's so many people in it. I start reading, I'm thinking, this guy is who I've got built up in my head that we're talking about. And then after we get a couple paragraphs in, I'm like, oh, that was a totally different guy. The names are too similar. Yeah. So.
Matt, what do you watch?
Well, I don't know if we've got to talk about the end of Widow's Bay or not, but Catherine, you finished it, right?
Yep.
You guys both finished it, right? Finished it. So I thought it was fantastic, and I'm highly, highly looking forward to the next season. So I just can't wait. And then we've watched it. We're actually on our third rewatch of it now. So we're like halfway through. As of right now, this was vying with, and this is saying a lot because I don't normally do TV, but this is vying with Obsession for my number one. I don't normally rank TV shows in my top 10, but this is that good to me. And it's not just the horror. Obviously, there's horror elements to it and everything. It's just, I think it's hilarious too. And
the characters are fantastic.
They're just such great characters.
Storyline is great.
Even if it wasn't horror, I would still be loving it. So this is top notch. And of course, The Odyssey, I think it's fantastic. I think it's probably very close to my favorite Christopher Nolan movie. It's up there with like Memento. That's been my favorite up to now, basically. But I love it. I think it's fantastic. You say that. Why?
I can't get through Memento. I've never seen it.
Yeah. What?
I've tried watching it four different times. And I just,
I love Memento.
That's so good.
I don't think I've ever gotten more than 20 minutes into it.
Did you? I love Memento so much. I bought the DVD, like the deluxe, and it was like special packaging and all that. Well, when you put the DVD in, Christopher Nolan, the asshole that he is, makes you do a test, a memory test. And if you don't get it correctly, you can't start the movie. It starts off in the special features, and you have to do a memory test, and it's pictures, and you have to memorize the pictures. And then you said, what was third? What was first?
So Mark's never watched it.
It took like 3 months for me to start this fucking movie.
Hey, I was writing him down. Can you come to my house so I can start this movie?
It was so annoying.
Exactly. Brian, can you come here and help me watch this movie? Hey, by the way, I really want to watch this movie. Why don't you come over and hang out with me? Oh, by the way, there's a test before.
It was brutal. I was so fucking mad. I just turn it off. Fuck it. I don't want to see this fucking movie. And then like the next day I'm like putting it in there. I'm just like watching. And I have to remember. It took like, I think it was like, a month and a half or something, and finally I got it working.
What's the one where they're going into their dreams? Where
is that Inception?
Inception. Yeah, that one. But I would, up to now, I think Memento has been my favorite. But this is right up there with those other two.
You mean it wasn't Tenet?
I hated Tenet.
I hated Tenet.
I thought that was terrible. But
that was brutal.
Or not terrible. It was a movie like 2 hours of exposition is basically all it was. Just constant
pretentious shit.
Just constant. I mean, I liked the concept, and I liked that it's an original kind of thing, and that it, you know, he was really going for it and everything. I can appreciate all that, but it didn't work in the same way that Inception did. Inception, I thought was perfect.
He lost the narrative in Tenet.
But yeah, I loved The Odyssey. I thought it was really well done. And I haven't watched very much this year or this summer. We were super busy with a million things. And one of those things is our fourth short film that we've been cranking away at slowly, called The Thing With Me. And So we've got just a little bit left to do, and that'll be done. And I've been kind of editing as I go, and what we've got so far is really strong. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, I think we're going to probably finish shooting everything by almost everything should be done by the time this episode comes out, I think, maybe. Oh, so we great. Just a few scenes left to do. So, and then one little thing, but we've got to hike up to the top of it. Part of the problem is we have to hike up these up to the mountains above Burbank, and it's been so hot. We've had heat warnings. I can't have people hiking gear up to the top of, there's an abandoned Boy Scout camp up there at the top of the mountains in Burbank. And have you been there, Catherine? Have you hiked up there? Yeah. But it's just so hot. It's been 100 degrees. I can't have people lugging gear up there and stuff. So, but that'll, and especially because it'll be 5 minutes because there's just a couple shots we need. Maybe longer than that, because the Jimmy's final scene is in that, but it's, I think it's really strong, and it's a kind of metaphor for depression. And so, and Jimmy talked about that in the last episode, where we talked about the decoration. We talked about this, the thing with me, and Jimmy and I had gotten together for coffee, and he had been struggling with depression for a while last winter, and has been for a while off and on, or well, pretty much his whole life, but he'd been doing really well for a while, and it hit him again last winter. And so we started talking about a way to turn that into a horror movie. And so I think what we have is pretty strong and pretty interesting. So, we actually just had to replace, one of the cast because his scheduling, he wasn't going to be available until November. And I was like, oh no, we need to get this done. So, I guess that's it. So.
Well, good night, everybody. 47 minutes. All right.
Our new, well, that's fine. Cause I don't have a lot to say about a couple of these movies.
Jesus Christ.
So our next episode, or this pick is Mark's pick. So Mark, take it away.
Yeah, hands off, or what were the other titles, Joe? Mark gives a handsy or something like that.
Mark gets a little handsy. That's what I'm calling
Mark
it.
Mark gets a little handsy. Yeah.
Well, let's just go with hands off.
Mark's hand job.
Hands off. I don't know. I was watching Into the Darkness, and man, you really get, some ideas watching, 36 Hours, and it was one episode of the 80s, and it was right off the bat, it was Michael Caine and the hand. And I was just Michael Caine, love Michael Caine, love to bring him up again. I believe this is the fourth horror film we've reviewed on the CineScare podcast. We've done A Dress to Kill. We've done Death Trap, Jaws 4. And now we're doing the hand. So, I mean, hey, we're doing it with Michael Caine, huh?
Guess so.
Okay. So
that's what the rumor has it.
Rumor has it. So let's start off.
Sweaty, gorgeous, bare-chested men.
What the fuck? So the first one we're going to start off with is The Crawling Hand, 1963. The hand of a dead astronaut comes crawling back.
We were just talking about the hand, and now we're not doing
that. Oh, hi, Mark.
You want to do the hand first?
No. All right, it's your show. Yeah.
No. Okay, we'll do the hand.
1981. Joe really wants to talk about the hand.
He wants to talk about the hand. Fine, Joe.
I'm all about the hand.
Directed by Oliver Stone, this is from 1981, starring Michael Caine as a comic book artist losing his hand because his wife doesn't know how to drive, which in turns, the hand takes on a murderous life of its own. Now, we all love it when, a distinguished actor turns up in a horror movie, especially an old one, but I've, never seen Michael Caine, I believe, this unhinged before, especially his hair. His hair is absolutely phenomenal.
His hair is crazy.
It's the greatest. It's the greatest. I don't even know how it even happened and what happened with it. But we're going to start off with Joe, since he's so excited about talking about The Hand. Joe, what were your thoughts on your favorite actor, Michael Caine?
I have several notes. So my first one is, I think Mark picked this just to have an excuse to do his Michael Caine impression.
I 100% thought that myself. Yeah.
And of course, my second note is Michael Caine has horrible hair in this movie. The daughter in this film is the same daughter from Mommy Dearest. What stymies me about this film is it's about a comic book artist. And yet, has anybody seen the poster they came out with for this? It's terrible.
No.
It's like black and white negative of a hand. It's one of the dumbest. Like, I don't even know what it. I was looking at it first. So that's just, it seems weird.
Now I've got, I see a different poster.
What do you have?
Here, I'll share it with you. If I can, this will be the first, this will be a CineScare first.
Listen up.
I found another one where it's an actual photograph. I see one that looks like Super Troopers 3. Well, that's not it.
Do you see one where it's a yellow title and the red hand?
Do you own it, Catherine?
No, this is just on my phone.
Oh, I thought that was a VHS.
Yeah, that's
copy
the
for
one that
second.
I was talking about that looks terrible.
Yeah, that is pretty bad. Almost looks like a sleeping monkey.
Yeah, I see, Matt, what you're talking about, the Warner Home Video one. The words, the hand, and it's Michael Caine screaming with blood all over his face while sitting in the car. But still, it is about a comic book artist. So they hire Barry Windsor Smith, one of the best comic book artists in history. He did Conan the Barbarian, Red Sonja. He did Weapon X. They couldn't have asked him to do a poster for this. It's just like they missed a great opportunity. There was an awful lot of blood. I've never had my hand cut off, but when his hand does get cut off in that horrible accident because of his wife's driving, we'll agree with Mark on that one. Just seemed like an insane amount of, like, he should have at least passed out. So I was going through the trivia, and it turns out Michael Caine actually cut off his hand so that he could get the role. That's not right. But he did say he did the movie just so that he could get a down payment on a garage that he was trying to have
that
built.
Didn't he do that for Jaws 4?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He bought a house with Jaws 4 money.
Right.
Now he needs a garage.
Yeah. There's a scene where he's having a nightmare and he sits up straight up in bed, covered in sweat. And his eyes are still closed. And then his eyes just like slowly open. It just seems so. I've never, like, if you're bolting up out of bed because of a nightmare and a cold sweat, typically your eyes are like wide open. It was odd. It was nice to see Oliver Stone making a cameo in his own movie as a one-handed bum.
Yeah.
It was awful convenient that Michael Caine lost his hand, but then got the prosthetic and then decided to wear a black leather glove over it. It was almost like he didn't lose a hand at all. You know, that was kind of convenient for the shooting.
Yeah, exactly.
It was looking pretty bad when he was just having the prosthetic and he had to keep it kind of like.
But that's the torment that actors are supposed to go through when they play a character that's lost a limb.
But it didn't look real, though.
Don't hire Michael Caine, then.
Oh. Yeah.
Find some guy willing to cut his own hand off. But there's weird direction in this film. Like, he hears the shower dripping and he goes to investigate and he doesn't turn it off. And then he's startled by the window getting blown open in the storm and he never shuts the window.
Or cleans it up.
Yeah. So he's got some very aggressive female students at whatever that free sex love colleges that he went to go teach at without his wife, who's too busy taking yoga. You know, he's a comic book artist, and it's not like he's an Italian painter or something like that. He's a comic book artist in the early 80s. He's not making the type of money to send his wife and daughter off to New York for yoga classes, you know, while it's like those people on House Hunters. They're like, you know, I organize beads on a piece of plastic all day long. So let's go look at this $40 million house. Like, the money's just not there with that profession. They should have given him a different job.
And it wasn't even a comic book. It was like a comic strip for like the newspaper.
Yeah, it was a comic strip. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Like, all he's got to do is like 4 or 5 little panels and that's it.
Yeah.
If that.
The sex scene with him and his student and his hand.
Sexiest scene ever.
Was so awkward.
No, it was so hot. Three
gorgeous, bare-chested men.
He wasn't even making a face. Like, he was just going up and down. It was just the same expression. That was so weird about it.
And even with that, like, all I could look at was the hair on his head.
Yeah. Because
it was just so... It just took me out of every scene entirely. Yes. Yeah.
It's like a Prince Valiant haircut.
So when he's confronting his wife about her supposed affair, he tells his wife that she should get out of his house. And then the next scene, he storms off and walks outside. And then the very next scene, it cuts to the three of them wearing Christmas sweaters, gathering around the Christmas tree, opening presents. And my next note was just, continuity's a bitch. But like, that made no sense at all.
They did it for the kid.
Yeah, but lead up to it somehow. That's just terrible editing, if you ask me.
At least say something.
And I have a note. This movie is 18 hours long. I can't believe Oliver Stone directed this. When that hand tries to strangle his wife in her sleep and then escapes out the window, Michael Caine goes walking outside in the rain to find it, and he's following a blood trail. Where was the blood from?
He didn't
kill her. There's no blood. I mean, there's no blood coming out of the hand. It didn't make any sense.
Well, and then the ending kind of makes all of this.
The freeze frame?
Any sense. Yeah.
The freeze frame ending that this is like, we don't know what else to do. Freeze frame.
Exactly. Freeze frame. Da.
All I have to say ending to sum up this is I hope he got a very nice garage out of it. So
I'm sure
he did. Yeah. Matt, did you love it?
No.
No.
I gave this 1 star.
Wait,
no, wait a minute. Sorry. Wow. No.
What did you give?
No. It was the crawling hand. The crawling hand is what I gave 1 star.
Spoiler. Yeah, no. Out of 1 star, what'd you give the crawling hand?
Yeah, no, I gave this one 2.5. That's right.
Jeez.
It was really hard to get through, though. But you know, I had the opposite take on the driving thing. It's his own fucking fault. He had his hand out the goddamn window and he's like, he was a total hothead backseat driver the whole time. If he just shut up and let her drive, they'd get there eventually. It's his own fault. He lost his hand. It's not her drive. I mean, her driving wasn't great, but I mean, if I'm with somebody who can't drive, I'm not going to stick my hand out. Like, what does he think he's doing with that? He's going to push off that trailer truck. I don't know what he's thinking.
He was telling that bloody cow to get back, to move out of the way.
Get back, everyone. I got my hand out the window.
You bloody cow, get out of the way, damn it.
See?
Yeah, all right. Your best imitation. Like it's 1,000 times better than your Christian Slater. 1,000 times better.
Matt, I agree. I have the same sympathy for those people that take their shoes off and hang their feet out the window while they're driving or while they're riding shotgun.
Fuck those people.
I see that and I immediately hope to God they get in a horrible car accident.
Yes. I want to see the death proof where they get in a car accident and the leg just flies out.
Yep.
Absolutely. Those people are annoying. And you know who you are.
I and then I'm curious. I mean, not that it matters, because by the end we get, it all seems like it's a dream sort of fucking thing. But how does the hand hold people down? You know, and that's what the problem with all these hand movies is. How do
We're
they
just gonna
have
ignore
any leverage?
Physics.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, aside from the fact that it's a living hand that seems to be right. able to see
and can
things.
See. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, was it really the hand? It was basically him. He was doing
right.
the blackout.
But I'm just, but
they're
we
trying
don't
to make
know
you think that.
That
it is.
And then at right. the end, it makes it all just a bunch of bullshit. But yeah, well, we're not thinking the whole time like, well, it's really him. No, we think there's a real hand out there, Joe. Oh,
I was doing the freeze frame at the end of the film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the freeze frame at the end of the movie. I said, yeah. Another note is, man, this thing drags. It really dragged on it. How long was this thing?
18 hours.
It was less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
104.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Well, yeah, it's not good. I mean, what is that? An hour 40, something like that. I can't count. With his hair like this, Michael Caine looks like Gene Wilder. There was it's a couple
he does.
Scenes.
He does.
There are a couple yeah. scenes, especially of him from not necessarily a distance, but like a medium shot, where I was like, holy shit, he looks like a bigger framed Gene Wilder. And then, yeah, wow, a freeze ending, which was, you know, very 70s, early 80s, I guess. But it made me think also, I wouldn't mind seeing one now in a stylized movie, you know, a freeze or at least a freeze. You never see a
freeze
shot like that anymore,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
and it was
Sleepaway
very
camp.
Yeah. And it was a very stylized thing from that time, and we have a lot of movies trying to replicate that time period, but you never see that in any of them. So
I think we'll see that at the end of the thing with me.
Yeah.
Jimmy in a freeze frame.
Yeah. Jimmy in a freeze frame.
Wait, but you gotta
do
the
long
freeze frame.
You gotta do Sleepaway Camp.
You gotta do the freeze frame like they do in Police Squad, where Jimmy will freeze, but everyone else just doesn't.
Yeah. Everyone else just keeps walking. And yeah.
You should do the freeze frame like from Animal House with the horse.
Yeah.
With the freeze frame with that, do that with Jimmy.
So yeah, Catherine, go ahead. I have nothing more to say about this thing.
I don't have much to add. I will say, I mean, you'll hear me say this more than once this episode. Mm-hmm. Is this a good movie? No, but do I enjoy it? Yes.
Yeah.
This one, unlike one of the others, had some entertainment
value
to it.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
Yes, it makes no sense, especially, you know, the more you think about it, the less and less sense it makes. But it's fun. I enjoy watching it. Michael Caine, I mean, say what you will about him, even though he's doing a movie just for a paycheck, he still does a good job. Like, I still enjoy his performance. He's still fun to watch.
He's committed, like he right? does, and he's, I mean, that's his career. It's, I mean, he's known for having done loads of movies and doing, and he'll say yes to anything,
exactly,
as long as he's getting paid.
But I never feel like he's phoning it in.
No, he commits to all of them. Yeah,
exactly. So it's still enjoyable to watch. Also, one of my favorite moments is after he's lost his hand, he goes back out to the road, and you see him just kind of looking around as if he's trying to like communicate like ESP with his hand. Where is it? But
he finds the ring, limb. But not the hand.
Yeah. Exactly, finds the ring, but not the hand. But no, yeah, this movie's dumb. But I enjoy it. I had seen it before. It was fun to revisit it again. Yeah, that's about all I have to say. I didn't really take many notes on this one.
Somebody give me a hand finding my hand.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, I liked it too. I mean, exactly what Catherine said. It's just fun to watch like an old movie with a distinguished actor who's done such great work, and then you just see him in a stupid, silly horror film, and he's going, he's just like everybody else, you know?
Well, Oliver Stone directed it.
Yeah, right, Oliver Stone directed it. And to think that his, what was his next film that he directed? Was it Platoon? Platoon was 1988.
El Salvador, or San Salvador, I think, or Salvador, I think is what it's. Maybe
I think it's
one.
More of a shame on Oliver Stone than shame on Michael Caine.
for sure.
He tried his
best. Or the writer, whoever wrote this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he took it because Oliver Stone
wrote the screenplay.
He wrote it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, he must Salvador, have loved that Lizard's Platoon, Tale.
That's right. Yeah, it was based on a book.
Yeah, Salvador. Salvador's a good movie. And that's
I've actually never seen that.
That's how he got the funding for Platoon and got that because Salvador was good.
Huh. All right. Well, next. The Crawling Hand, 1963. The hand of a dead astronaut comes crawling back from the grave to strangle the living. Starring, I had no idea he was in it, Alan Hale Jr.,
right.
The skipper.
Exactly.
That was a wonderful surprise. And he was the best actor in that whole entire film. then the actor Rod Loren, who stole the movie, basically, who plays Paul, the lead. The kid, the teenager who apparently thought he was, he just saw a rebel without a cause and said, oh, that's how I'm supposed to act. And that's literally what he did throughout the whole entire film, was literally doing James Dean poses and grabbing the hair. And it was disgusting.
Some of the scenes were written a lot like Rebel Without a Cause too. There was,
in fact,
if you watched the MST3K version, they even called it out. Like,
yeah.
who is this? Sal Mineo? You know, there was a couple scenes like that were written like Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh no, I didn't even watch it. I just watched it. I raw dogged it and just watched it as a movie.
Yeah,
Trooper Mark.
I don't know. That might have been. It might have been my first movie that I would have just turned off and not completed. Maybe
really
of CineScare. If it weren't for MST3K,
I didn't think it was that bad. I mean, there was a scene. Well, yeah.
So
I mean, I Mark, struggled when
terrible.
He was. Like, now, hang on.
It was terrible.
I don't know if it was terrible, guys. Never mind.
Shut up. Shut up, Mark.
The beginning, or that one scene where he's just saying numbers and he's on the phone. And the hand's like crawling up and he's just doing numbers. And all of a sudden he's getting like sleepy. And then all of a sudden the hand just grabs him by the throat. And I was just like, why did it take that long to do it? But I thought some of the acting was so atrocious. It was really funny. Like with the mom or the aunt or whatever with the gun. That was fun. That was a fun scene. I didn't think it was as bad as you guys are like letting on to. I thought it was like so bad, kind of good with the acting and whatnot.
I would rather start watch with the Greasy Strangler again.
Really? Wow.
What about that, Joe?
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start off with Catherine. All Maybe she's got an uplifting attitude.
Is this a movie good? Is this movie good? No. But is it fun to watch? Yes, especially if you've got Mystery Science Theater on your side. I mean, like these are the movies I love watching on like a Svengoolie or, you know, the late night horror shows. I mean, and there's a certain charm about these movies. You know, we're in the middle of the space race. You know, we haven't landed on the moon yet. So there's still all this conjecture of what's really out there and what's it like. And, you know, is it safe to go out into space? And so watching these movies that are just kind of imagining what it could be out there. There's a certain charm to those, you know,
it's a drive-in.
It's a great drive-in movie.
Back in the 50s.
Exactly. So it's great for that kind of thing. It's a nice time capsule of what things were like back then. But yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, the concept, obviously, again, makes no sense having a hand that's out to kill people. The acting is atrocious and over the top, but that's also what makes it charming. So, you know, it's just the biggest thing with it was the pacing. It was just so slow. If they had just tightened some stuff up, maybe cut out a few scenes, it would have been a lot better. But yeah, thank God for Mystery Science Theater. And I just, Mark, this won't make any sense to you, but Matt and Joe, I love the opening just from the very get-go. The guy, just tell them I'm smoking. Just tell them I'm smoking. And the guy, I couldn't stop laughing at that. But yeah, that's all I have to say on that. Again, not many notes because wasn't much to comment on.
That was a dramatic opening scene with that guy smoking a cigarette.
Right?
That was insane. He was just like,
right?
Just letting the smoke come out. It's like, it was a weird scene. Matt, you loved it.
Oh, this was brutal.
Fuck.
This is in really vying with Zombex for the worst movie on CineScare. It's vying.
You got to be kidding me.
Like I said, this would have been if it weren't for MST3K. And even they couldn't do anything with this. Like it was so bad. It wasn't even, the true so bad they're good movies are the ones that you can make fun of and have a good time making fun of them. This wasn't even that because it was one of the worst episodes of MST3K I think I've ever seen.
Wow. Like
I barely laughed during it, but at least they made it somewhat entertaining. And I really like the Joel era of MST3K. And I kind of feel like I want to talk more about MST3K than I want to talk about The Crawling right? Hand. But Joe, are you a fan of the Joel era of MST3K? Or
I don't have a favorite. I like them both.
Yeah. I when they replaced him with Mike, I was disappointed, but I grew to like Mike quite a bit.
Yeah, there's plenty of episodes that I can find that Mike are in that I think are just hilarious. So
right. Oh, loads. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. The show didn't drop off in quality when he came, but I really liked Mike or Joel.
Yeah.
And see, Mike was the first one I got introduced to, so he's the one I'm most familiar with, and I always appreciate him a little bit more than Joel.
Yeah, I think my friend Andy, when he was in college, told me about the show, like when it first came out. He was like, you got to watch this. I think it was on Comedy Central or something like that. He said, they basically do what we do, just make fun of movies and bad movies while we watch them. And so I got really into it. But this is the first one I've seen where I think I chuckled a couple times and that was about it, really. The Sal Mineo thing was funny or whatever. But there's a lot of serious guys in suits in this. I wrote, even MST3K can't do anything with this movie. The Skipper, I agree, was probably the best actor in it. And overall, the acting itself, I mean, that main kid wasn't very good. But overall, the actors, they were these old school 50s, whatever style actors who play cops and feds and that sort of thing. And in that style, they did what you expect them to do. They were fine. Unlike Zombex, where all the acting was just horrible and you had Corey Feldman, this one doesn't have that. So I guess I'd say it's a little better than the Zombex. So in my view, Zombex still remains the worst movie we've watched, and the worst movie of all time.
Jeez.
But this is very close. It's a Feldman away.
Wow.
Or a Corey away, I guess. And then there was a shot. I noticed a boom mic was in the shot.
But 57 minutes in.
Yeah. I don't know. It got very confusing between what was happening with the guys in the lab or, the guys in the government and then this kid and his girl and all this stuff. And I really found myself barely paying attention and hoping that MST3K could save me from the misery of watching this, but they couldn't. And I think they must have been miserable too. If I'd been a producer of MST3K, I would have been like, we're going to skip a week. Because this was the worst episode. It's the worst episode of MST3K I've ever seen, and one of the worst movies.
It's not even that bad in the ratings.
What are you talking about?
For the IMDb, it's not even bad in the ratings.
IMDb,
the real one.
3.3 out of 10.
Oh shit! Does it? I thought it was better than that.
Well, that's IMDb. Well, let me look at Rotten Tomatoes. What is it? The Crawling Hand.
Yeah, The Crawling Hand, 1963. What's it at? I don't think it was that bad.
It's 17% pop. There's one review there's one review from an actual reviewer.
Even Letterboxd gives it a 2.3.
He gives it 1.5 stars out of four.
Fairly, he calls it fairly dull stuff. That's his review. Yeah.
Oh, he has a full review though on Film Frenzy. But yeah, no, all right. It's terrible.
All right. Joe, what'd you think?
I didn't like it. the opening scene really confused. The opening scene took forever with the guys, the NASA scientists and the government guys and the secretary all just screaming and smoking. That's the whole opening scene. And I checked, like I stopped it twice to see how much time had transpired, and it was like 6 minutes. So I knew I was in for a treat. Burt Reynolds apparently screen tested for this movie twice and didn't get it.
He would have been great.
And I didn't understand the jokey old guy that ran the soda shoppy or something where all the kids hung out. And he's like, no dancing policy. And everybody was dancing. No rats Footless. Policy. And it's like, went over like a lead balloon there, old man. Just leave the kids alone and quit chewing up the scenery. There's a problem not only with the boom mic coming into the screen, but when Miss Hotchkiss gets attacked the first time, when it's like crawling out from behind the pillow onto her, it's a right hand. And then when it finally attacks her, it's a left hand.
I didn't catch
so continuity's a bitch.
Jesus Christ.
That's funny.
Yeah, my last two notes are, if it weren't for MST3K, I could not have made it through this film. And lastly, we should have just watched Body Parts with Jeff Fahey.
That's a great movie.
Well, but, it's you know. No crawling hand, but...
But now we got to watch The Crawling Eye.
What? Yeah.
There's the another
eye?
Yeah, it's another one of these types of... Yeah.
Oh my God.
Body That's Parts awful. Is good. But that was with limbs and all that, so I wanted to go a little classic, guys. I want to go a little old school. Get a little
appreciate
black
and the
white
black
and
white.
Yeah, the black and white. All right, last one. Idle Hands.
We're all right here. You can use your indoor voice.
You don't have to yell.
So next one is Idle Hands, 1999.
Or you could do something
I love
in between.
How there's only two volumes. There's right. like right. yelling and screaming, and then there's PBS intro.
It's either... Matt's got to turn the volume on the editing down on Mark's file, or I've got to turn it way up in Mark's file.
Yeah.
So, it's a teenager slacker. Right hand becomes possessed and with murderous intent starring Devin Sawa. Is that how you say it?
Sawa.
Sawa and Seth Green. And, of course, with the lovely young Jessica Alba. Basically, making her debut the same year as her debut in film with Never Been Kissed. So this is like her big first, like kind of big role in a movie. Let's go with Catherine, your husband's favorite movie.
It is. This is Robert's favorite horror movie. So I've watched it several times. This time we decided to watch it with the director commentary along with Seth Green. And the other fellow, not Devin, but the other guy. I can't think of his name.
Redhead?
Yeah. So what was
How was that? Was that interesting?
It was interesting. Eldon Henson. And real quick, I'm just going to brag for a second. There are so many people in this movie that I know or have met. Jack Noseworthy, who's the kind of heavy metal guy. Every time they show him, they play Shout at the Devil. He was in a play I worked at once, and he was very, very nice guy. Steve Van Warmer, who's got the Kiss makeup on, making out in the car. He's a voice actor that I know. And Seth Green actually was at a voiceover awards dinner and sat at the table with him, so that was pretty cool. So anyway, just got to brag a little bit about that.
Nice.
All right, bring him on the show.
I don't know him that well. But just some of the stuff I learned on the commentary. This was filmed in Pasadena. very near where the Halloween Michael Myers Halloween. House is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The color scheme in this movie was inspired by Dario Argento, and they shouted out Suspiria specifically. But they like to use very, you know, like the parents' bedroom at the beginning is a lot of orange going on, and then there's a scene a little later on. I don't remember if it was a house or a hospital. Everything was very green, so he liked to use very bold colors. Let's see. Oh, the guy who plays the hand in this movie is the same guy who plays Thing in the Addams Family movies.
Nice.
The same bowling.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. The bowling alley they use in this movie is the same one as in The Big Lebowski. And let's see. And then just some stuff that this wasn't in the commentary per se, but I love that The Offspring is the band they've got playing at the school Halloween dance.
Oh, man.
This movie has some really cool cameos. So it's got The Offspring there. You've got one of the lead singer from Blink-182 works in the fast food restaurant.
Tom DeLonge.
Tom DeLonge. And then both this and The Hand had cat jump scares. So also wanted to shout that out as well. But no, this is a fun movie. I mean, the first time I watched this movie, I didn't care for it. I just thought it was stupid. But every time I watch it, I appreciate it more and more. It's got some nice humor to it. It's just, you know, the actors are fantastic. They really commit to it. I love the comedy horror element of it as well. It's a nice mix. I mean, it's not very scary, but it's got some good, you know, when you're watching Devin try to cut his hand off, you know, he's got his hand in the bagel slicer, and then he finally gets the knife, you know, he's trying to, you know, all the different ways he's going at it, and then he finally gets it off, and when he throws the hand in the microwave, it's got some nice kind of little gory elements to it. But that's a lot of fun. I appreciate it more every time I see it.
Matt, this was your first time seeing it.
Yes. Yeah, it was the first time I'd seen this one. Good cast. I thought the tone was kind of all over the place at the beginning. I wasn't sure what the heck was going on. And then he doesn't seem that upset about his parents dying. You know, it just a little odd. Some of those little things like that. I didn't quite get that. I feel like he was, I guess it felt like they were really pushing him to play like a goofball at the beginning. Like he's this goofy kid. I don't know. I really struggled at the beginning of this. I thought, oh no, is this not another movie I'm not going to like, but I wound up having fun with it as it went along. I felt like it, once it got going, it was a lot more fun. Let's see. Like he found his dead parents and he didn't call the police, but then I guess he kind of figured out that it was him who did it. But not for a while. So, you know what I mean? Like it, I don't know, just that whole part of it. Like I was just struggling to figure out the logic of it. But I guess it's not that kind of movie.
It's not that kind of movie.
Once we got going, it was kind of an interesting setup, I guess. I was in and out of being interested, I guess, as it went. Vivica A. Fox is just not a very good actor.
Nope. She's horrible.
I thought she was fun.
A big fan of hers in this anyway. I don't know. I haven't seen her in very many things, I guess. But I did think that once she met up with Jeff Noseworthy or whatever his name is, that their whole thing kind of became fun. I loved the Halloween party at the high school. That's the greatest like Halloween party at a high school I've ever seen in my life. I liked the music. There were some things about it that made it kind of fun. And then at the end, you know, it's just like everybody's having fun, you know, and it's a relatively happy ending. Right. But his parents are dead. Like, I just feel like that whole thing, just it's not enough of a like satire or spoof to make me forget that the kid's parents are dead. And, you know, I don't know. And he's the one who did it, even though it was technically, you know, I did, those things bugged me because then I'm thinking like, well, how is he going to get away with this? Because eventually somebody's going to come in and be like, oh, yeah, by the way, your parents are dead. Where are they? You know, like, I don't know. Nobody else had a problem with that. Like, I think
you
about
can't think about this movie then.
You can't. Yeah, you can't think of it that way.
But you can't. I mean, a movie has to be logical at some point. Like, even if it's a silly movie, there has to be some sense of logic at some point.
Did you see The Crawling Hand?
Well, that's why I hated that movie. And so I think that those little things like that kind of took me out of it a bit. And I didn't like it as much as I would have otherwise. But in comparison to the first two that we saw, it comes off looking quite well. I give it about 2.5 cuts. It's all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, I think the actor Devin Sawa, I mean, I think his slapstick and his physical comedy with that hand was really good. And his, you know, moving the hand and he had it in his pocket and it looks like he's jerking off in front of the door. I mean, that was a funny little scene. Yeah. It was fun. I love the slapstick that Devin put into it. I think he really did a really nice job. Joey.
Cool. If you want to talk about logic, Matt, why can someone explain to me why his hand got possessed in the first place?
Yeah, that's
like some
just demon, one of those things.
Like
just one of those
hundreds
things.
Of millions of miles away and years, decades ago. It's seeking out a person that's like the epitome of laziness.
Yes.
That's why. But Mick and Penub are also lazy. Plus the saying is devil or idle hands. Plural are the devil's playground. Why did it only possess one?
That's
it's
true.
Too hard to do a movie with no
And yeah, his parents are dead. So like at the end of this, if there's a happy ending, this kid's going to get arrested for patricide. He just killed his parents.
My hand was possessed. All right, sure. They're going to lock him up and throw away the key. And then Jessica Alba is going to go off with somebody else.
I mean, he chopped off his hand and he pretty much recovered and went to a dance right afterwards. I mean, what are we looking for here? Like, are we looking for sound facts or are we looking to have a good time?
Well, I will agree. Vivica A. Fox, or as I was calling her throughout the entire movie, Foxy Cleopatra, she was like way over the top. And especially right off the bat when she's in her RV or whatever, and she's got that map and there's five dots on it and she connects it. And I'm like, holy shit, five dots together make a star. Like that works everywhere. Yeah, and her scene at the bowling alley was just a little over the top. But that being said, out of the three movies, the one I had the most fun with, it's a late 90s film. So the soundtrack just kicked ass. It was great music. Yeah. Mark, how much do you know how many Academy Awards did Jessica Alba get in this one?
She got zero.
Was it six? Oh, that's a shame. She was overlooked. Yeah, she was just fucking terrible in this film. I love that the offspring not only just played the dance, but actually had an active role in one of the deaths. You know, that was pretty cool. My biggest complaint is, would somebody please feed that damn dog?
Oh,
I felt so bad for the dog when he keeps coming in the room and he's just like throwing his bowl around because nobody had fed him because he killed his parents and the kid's too damn lazy to feed his own dog. I just kept thinking there was going to be some sort of scene where somebody would finally put some kibble in that bowl. Yeah. Did you guys read the story on how Mick and Penub got their names?
No.
It's from Eddie Murphy when he did Buckwheat on Saturday Night Live.
Mick and Penub.
It's Mick and Penub for two. So that's how they got the names. So that was my deep dive into the depth of Jesus trivia Christ. On Idle Hands.
I think that maybe knocked this movie down half a star for me. I'm going to knock it down to 2 stars now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I knocked this topic out of the park.
So that's all I got to say about that.
That's all right. Well, that was a pick.
That was a pick
that Mark did.
Never mind. Shut up.
We were off for up, 2 months and we come back to this.
Yeah.
You guys were really excited about this. You're like, Matt's like, that's actually my boy.
I was.
That's
no, I was. I was, but little did I know.
Actually, we were just excited that you came back on the episode tonight.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We're glad you're back.
You knew I wasn't going to be on again. The last episode. You knew it.
Sweaty, gorgeous, bare-chested men.
No. All right.
The next pick is so good.
The next pick is mine, and this is Joe's comeuppance.
I think
is what we're going to have to. Joe's
be a thriller in it.
No,
it's all werewolf movies.
It's all werewolf found footage films.
And I've been racking my brain this summer trying to come up with a good werewolf like pun for the title, and I just cannot. Like, I don't know if you're a werewolf, Joe, but that's a little too insidey for a title.
Werewolf.
I don't know. That's just that. I thought of something along those lines too, and I was like, oh god, no. So anyway, yes.
Go to sleep tonight thinking of werewolf puns.
Yeah. If you can come up with one, then yeah, maybe we'll change the name. But it is werewolf horror because Joe put us through the torture of what was the pick that you did?
Feldman
Spring
Zero.
Oh god. What was the one you did?
What was the most recent one?
Mark's doing the greatest hits of Joe's.
Yeah.
Destruction.
Clean Slater.
Clean Slater.
Right. Christian Slater movies. So I felt I needed to punish him for that.
I gladly, like, it was worth it. Whatever you're going to make me watch, the Clean Slater episode was worth it.
So we are going to watch three horror movies that have to do with werewolves. So the first one that we're going to do is from 1984, directed by Neil Jordan, and that is The Company of Wolves.
Angela Lansbury.
This is one that I've never seen, but I do remember the video store cover.
Yeah.
Then I never saw it. But this is Angela Lansbury, Sarah Patterson. I don't know. Brian Glover. A bunch of people I don't really know that well.
All I can think of is Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Terrence Stamp is in it. Mm-hmm. And Jim Brown, is that the actor or the football player? No.
Football player.
No,
it's not.
But the cover you're talking about, it's with Little Red Riding Hood, but it's like a werewolf's like mouth coming out, right?
Out of somebody's face. Yeah.
Face. Right. Yeah. It's classic.
Yeah, it is a classic cover. And I've never seen it. So
awesome.
All three of these movies, one of them I saw a long time ago. I do not remember it, and I was a little kid, so I don't remember it at all. So it'll be like watching it for the first time. But this next one I have never seen, and that is Dog Soldiers from 2002, directed by Neil Marshall. Dog Soldiers. And then last but not least, The Howling.
Directed
by Joe Dante, starring Dee Wallace, Patrick Mcnee,
that slut
Dennis Dugan,
slut Dee Wallace,
slut Dee Wallace.
John Carradine is Slim Pickens is in this thing. Elizabeth Brooks. Let's see who else. I know there was somebody else. Anyway, so
I can't
this
actually do Silver Bullet with Corey Haim. And Gary Busey.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. Okay. Fuck. Oh, by the way, Company of Wolves is on Amazon Prime. Not the rental, but the good one. Dog Soldiers is on Shudder and Amazon Prime. And The Howling is on Amazon Prime. So none of these are rentals.
Attaboy, man.
What year was The Howling?
1981.
81.
Actually, I'm glad you're doing this, which defeats the purpose for my comeuppance.
Yeah.
But whenever you guys talk about werewolf movies, the only one in the back of my head that I'm thinking, oh, I wouldn't mind watching that would be The Howling. I've never seen it. So
perfect.
So now I have a reason to.
And it is, it was when it came out, it's where it was along, the same as American Werewolf in London and some of those, the makeup effects were groundbreaking for the Howling for sure. And I don't remember who, let me see, who did the makeup effects.
Because I love me I some sweat.
It was
some Baker.
Was it Rick Baker?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was Rick Baker. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Because, you know, I love me some slutty D. Wallace.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Joe and I both.
All right. Well, go to www.cinescarehorror.com and check out our merchandise. And also, if you this weekend, if you happen to be around in the LA area, go to Midsummer Scream and see our short film, The Decoration. It is playing at 4 o'clock. At the 4 o'clock time slot in the film festival at Midsummer Scream, but get there early. Parking down there gets really difficult. And there's a line that goes on for about a mile, which
I'm going to be in that line. Unfortunately,
are you going to, you're not going to get your press pass again this time?
I didn't have an in this time.
Oh, damn. Yeah, no, we get the filmmaker pass. So we get to do the red carpet and everything. It'd be fun. But anyway, get down there early, and there's so much to do. There's workshops. George Stryker is doing a workshop on composing, writing music on Sunday, I believe. There's also a booth there where you can sign up, and they will walk you through creating your own headstone, which I'm going to do and use it for our Halloween decor for our yard and everything. So, and I know Joe's been working on his mausoleum for his yard this year. And last year he had said that he was done and he was going to give away all of his shit, but no, he's back. It keeps pulling him back in.
That's right.
So
he'll never quit.
Yeah, I'll never quit. You can't quit it.
You can't quit. You're too legit.
Joe is. You're too legit to quit.
I can tell you, after this year, I am not saying I'm quitting.
Okay. All right.
I have a solution to my issues. So
we will have that to look forward to. So I guess that's it.
A Halloween party, right, Joe?
And are you having a Halloween party this year?
We may be co-hosting a Halloween party. I'm not sure yet, though. We got to work out the details.
All right. Well, is the Tanglewood going to have a big Halloween party, Joe, that you're going to have to plan? Okay, good. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this time. We'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Goodness.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let's come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Mark gives a handsy. I think I went 2.5 minutes and I was done. Joe, did you like it better than Evil Dead Rise?